We've been doing this Path One road trip. We call it our Path One summer road trip. The idea is to visit some of the 680 plus new congregations that were planted during the previous 5 years. So we're trying to get eyes on the places and meet the planters and their teams and get a sense of what good stories are out there to tell and celebrate as we move into the future with church planting in the denomination.
And your focus is the north central jurisdiction.
Right. So my trip has taken me from East Ohio through northern Illinois, Wisconsin, Minnesota, the Dakotas, up to the School of Congregational Development in Denver, where we had a chance to meet with some other folks and celebrate some of the things that are going on. And I'm working my way back through, so I stopped in Iowa for a couple of days. And then I'll go to the Quad Cities to meet with a new plant that's happening in Rock Island. And then I'll head home to the Indianapolis area.
650 congregations.
680 plus.
680 plus.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Variety, in this jurisdiction or?
All over the U.S.
Okay. And yeah. So then out of that, there are about how many in North Central?
About 150.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
That were planted from January of 2008 through December of 2012. And then there are others that are popping up all the time. So, for example, with Jeremy at Ankeny, I got to meet him, but he's not necessarily counted in that 680, but... you know, they've got new ministry, and I'm here as a resource person for new congregations.
So a new congregation could be a standalone, or it could be a new community of faith, could be within a parent.
Yes.
With a multi-campus, multi-site.
Absolutely. So the thing that we found in the data about the 680-whatever congregations was that the most prevalent strategy growing is multi-site. And so we wanted to get a sense of how those are all happening, because there are models across the board. There are church within a church models. There are a definite link to the site where you've got the same pastor and it's a video venue. You've got two different pastors at two different sites preaching from the same theme but different messages. So it's taking a different approach in all sorts of places.
Going back over the 5 years, do you see a momentum that the first year or two there were a few and now there are many more?
It's been kind of a slow build, actually. In the early part of the quadrennium, we saw quite a bit of planting activity. We saw kind of a pullback when budgets got tighter as the economy had some challenges. And then we're seeing conferences and districts taking a different approach, because a multi-site strategy isn't nearly as costly as a standard parachute drop, where you've got a pastor and that person's sent to a territory without any people or facilities or anything except themselves. So with a multi-site or with a parented congregation, then you've got the backing of a strong congregation to help that get started. And often we'll see a team of folks go to be missionaries to help get something started, and then they might go back to the congregation where they came from, or they might stick around. It just depends on how they're committed to the new ministry in the new area.
Talk a little bit about your experiences in Iowa in the last few days.
Yeah, so it's been fun to visit with the planters here and to see the different things that are going on. I had a chance to meet with Neil and Craig at New Hope and River of Life, so that was good to get their perspective on that multi-site ministry that's developing to reach a new community and reach in new ways to folks that aren't currently being connected with New Hope or any other church. And Craig's got some good things going there. He's excited about the fall. The Saturday evening worship has given him some momentum. Sunday should prove to be a big growth curve for them, so that's exciting.
And their first service is October 6th.
Yeah, so they'll be doing that and getting all of that launched into the fall season, which is terrific. So I think that'll be good momentum there. And Jeremy's just getting started with his new ministry, but he's gathering a good team and seems to be on a solid footing and excited about the future. And then with Glenn Hansen in Bondurant, got a good, strong, solid congregation there, and I think he's poised for growth for the future as well. Excited about what he can learn from some of the other places in the jurisdiction that I've been visiting. So I talked with him about Embrace, which is in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, which is poised to go to about 1,700 probably in average worship attendance, has been on a huge growth curve over the last few years. Started really in 2006, but started kind of small, and then had some changes in how they were approaching things, had a building opportunity that came up, so they've just been growing and growing and growing. And they're looking at doing multi-site in order to reach new communities as well.
Already?
Yeah, because a lot of churches, when they max out their space, a great solution is to try to find another place. And rather than go in with another building, another property, and all of the really, frankly, the overhead that comes along with that, they're finding other places that they can rent to build a foothold in that community and start from there, rather than, okay, we've got to find the right piece of land and the right property and we got to build and all those things. We're not really seeing that anymore.
Oh, interesting. Mm-hmm. You talked about networking, mm-hmm. even in your last comment.
Uh-huh.
You're doing some things in terms of photos, mm-hmm. in terms of the summer road trip.
Yeah.
Gaining some experience, some hands-on visuals,
yeah,
for yourself.
Absolutely.
And you've got a Facebook page.
We do. So Path One New Church starts at GBOD, and so we're on Facebook, and we're encouraging people to like us there and follow us on our road trip. So we've been gaining a lot of likes and followers as we've gone through this. It's been fun to see the momentum building just in terms of people who are interested in what's going on. And so the other folks who are involved in other jurisdictions, like myself, so we've got Paul Nixon, who's in the Northeast jurisdiction, and Bob Crossman in the South Central as strategists for Path One. We've also been working with some Path One associates, so pastors and planters and coaches who are engaged in our new church movement within the United Methodist Church. They're all out and they are visiting places. So Beth Estock is somebody who is visiting out in the Western jurisdiction, along with Benair Agtarap, who's the conference superintendent for New Church Starts out there.
Okay.
And I've had Sam Rodriguez, who is our Hispanic Latino New Church Starts and Multi-Ethnic New Church, mm-hmm. Starts director, traveling with me from time to time. Most of what we saw planted in northern Illinois and in Wisconsin have been Hispanic Latino congregations. And so we targeted those two areas to travel together so we could see what was going on in both the standard more suburban Anglo congregation than and then in also the Hispanic ministries. What we've seen in the Hispanic ministries is multiplication is a huge part of how they're growing. And so we met a congregation in Elgin, Illinois, that has been growing through multiplication, a bivocational planter. He works construction full-time. He does the planting on the weekends. And he and his wife now are doing kind of multi-site because he is in a congregation in Elgin and in a neighboring community. She's leading a new faith community over there, building that up. Mm-hmm. So he's grown that church to 150 to 200, but then she's got another 50 or so. So they're growing in that way. We also met a pastor in Green Bay who has been growing his congregation through this strategy as well as a bivocational planter. And we met with one of his planters who's starting a new faith community in Appleton. Hmm. So that was interesting to see how that is really taken off. And that's what we encourage people to do. It's how the church grew in the first place. Hmm. But to see it in action again has been fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In this summer road trip, mm-hmm. I know it's early to mm-hmm. sit back and mm-hmm. reflect on some mm-hmm. of this. Mm-hmm. Are there some things that stand out mm-hmm. that are common factors for the energy and the vitality of New Starts?
I think that having a supportive environment for new churches to grow is good and has been a key. Whether that is senior pastor from a parent congregation or a supporting congregation, that's been one key. Recognizing that in the conference that there's an initiative to plant new churches has been a key. Training for pastors has been absolutely essential, and coaching for them as they are getting started as planters.
Say a little bit more about that.
Sure. So what we find is that a coach can help in a variety of ways to broaden a planter's perspective, reflect things back that they hear, ask the right questions that might help take them to the next level in terms of their ministry. With Path One, we have a network of coaches, and so we've got folks that are trained particularly to help with planting ministries. There are, the way we look at coaches is that we try to think of it in three skill sets. Coaching as a good set of questions, reflecting back the things that you're hearing, helping the planter to really solve his or her own issues as they move forward. We also look at facilitation, because one of the key things with new churches is stakeholders. A lot of people have a lot of investment in what's going on, be that the congregational development folks, the people like Scott Hibben, or a team of folks who are invested in that. So that's one set of stakeholders. You've got the congregation themselves who's a stakeholder, any of the sponsoring congregations. So let's say you've got a parent church or several parent churches. So all of those folks have a stake in the congregation. And we find that it's really important up front to say, this is who we are. This is where we're going. Does everybody agree? So sometimes facilitating those stakeholders' conversations is the role that a coach can play, and a really important one, so that everybody's moving in the same way and there are no surprises. You know, well, we thought it was going to be this, but it's this. And so to get everybody in agreement and set the benchmarks and say, this is what we're doing, this is how we're moving forward, very important. Then sometimes we also find that our coaches need to be in a consulting role, where sometimes it's important to just say, here's some things that you could try that we've seen in other places, and to be knowledgeable enough about what's happening to be able to refer planters to other places. So I've found that I have kind of been in that role in a variety of ways, even on my road trip, honestly. And so that's been good to see that in action as well.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Now, you've been a part of one or another of United Methodist denominational efforts for a while.
Long time. Yeah, 11 years.
Yeah.
And been part now of three different new congregations. That's how I got my start in ministry, was through the work of a new church in central Illinois.
Really?
Yeah. So I was one of the first people involved in New Horizon United Methodist in Champaign, and just felt God calling me to get more and more involved. I need more of your time, Emily. I need more of your energy, Emily. I need all of you. So I was the first staff person hired after the pastor as a full-time person, and my job was to help grow the systems and structure of ministry. So coaching the leaders, helping to make sure we had strong small groups and ministry teams, and work so that we had a good infrastructure and system in place that could facilitate the congregation's growth. So I did that, and then I worked for an established congregation for several years that was 180 years old, and helping them to get some of that new congregational DNA to do new things in established places. And so did that until I went to work for the Igniting Ministry. So did the Open Hearts, Open Minds, Open Doors for 7 years.
Yeah.
Got involved in a new church start again in the Mount Juliet area in Nashville. And so was involved with that. In fact, got approached by a senior pastor. Got involved in that in sort of a back-end way. I was still doing the Open Hearts training. I was traveling all over the country. A friend of mine knew that they were having a meeting about starting a new church in Mount Juliet and said, you need to be at this meeting. And I said, okay, well, I'll go. And I did the cardinal sin of going to a church meeting. I started asking questions, and I came across as like I knew a little bit of something about it, which got me invited to be part of the team.
Sure.
Yeah. So the senior pastor said, would you be part of the team? And I just said, you know, I'm traveling all the time. I don't have the energy to start another new church, but I got involved, and it was one of the best things that I had done, and as a result of that, got involved with new churches at the Path One staff. So I made the transition from the Open Hearts ministry to what I'm doing now, and I bring that perspective. So for me, as a layperson, as a strategist, I always try to bring that perspective that, one, let's not build congregations that are pastor-centric and that don't have partnerships with laity. Let's make sure that we engage the laity, that we train up the laity, that they are helping you build this church. So anyway, as I've gotten involved with all of that, that's one of the things that I bring to our team's perspective is, how do we work with clergy and laity in partnership? How do we effectively train planters, but also effectively train their teams? And so that's one of the things I'm listening for on this road trip, is how can we help planters take their congregations to the next level, give their ministry away in certain ways so that they can move on to the next thing. What we find with a lot of planters is they're very evangelistically oriented. They want to bring new people into faith with Christ. And so sometimes we need to bring a partner on board with them who can help attend to the small groups that need to be built, the ministry teams that need to be built, and make sure that the pastor is always thinking through how do we continue to reach new people with the good news, and then have other folks care for the internal needs of the congregation. Hmm. We see that a lot of pastors are very much that entrepreneurial and excited about what's the next thing that we can do, and so it's good to bring other folks along so that they can have a healthy congregation that's ready to meet new people, welcome them into whatever ministries are involved, and make sure that they get incorporated into the life of the church.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Yeah. We're seeing a lot of really great missional things going on in congregations, reaching new people that otherwise would not be part of churches. One of the ones that I was really excited to see was called Encounter in Watertown, South Dakota. And it's a very ethnically diverse congregation, economically diverse congregation. And so it was fun to be a part of worship there. And the kids would sit at the table. They had it set up in round tables. So parents and kids sitting at the table together. And there was a place for reflection. So the pastor would stop at a point and have people reflect on what is being talked about in worship. And so it was kind of a combination of worship and small group all together. Hmm. It's really interesting.
Huh.
Yeah. Like and that. So there are just all sorts of new things going on all over the Midwest and all over the country. And we're seeing God doing amazing things through the work of new congregations.
Wonderful. Mm-hmm. Remind me again, the Facebook site and the websites.
Yeah. So pathone.org is our website where we have resources available and where we're trying to connect people to our ministry resources for planters. Connect planters to one another through our connectional database of new church starts. So one of the things we're doing on the road trip is populating that with current information, making sure that we've got current information about the plants, the planters, the where they're meeting and worshiping, because that changes a lot with new congregations. And then we've got a feature we call Snapshots of Hope, which is linked to that connectional database. So let's say we've got Johnston River of Life that's growing. We encourage Craig to tell the stories of what's going on there, people's lives who are being affected by the ministry of that congregation. And so to share those snapshots of hope. We're also trying to connect planters to one another so that they can resource one another effectively. And so if people hear about what's going on with Glenn in Bondurant, and they want to learn some things from his marketing expertise, they can do that. If they want to find out more about, hey, what's this thing in called Encounter in Watertown, South Dakota, that they can do that and connect with one another that way. So what we find as we've talked with planters is sometimes they feel really alone in all of this, but they're not. There are a lot of other planters all over the place, and I think that's been one of the great things is for us to be able to say, you know, what you're doing here reminds me of what's going on there, and let me get you in touch with that planter. So that's an important feature as well. And that is happening through our Facebook posts. So we've got our Facebook Path 1 group. You can follow our road trip there and see the pictures of the things that are going on, and it's exciting.